I know it probably seems a little weird, you know, using KMK for this episode. I mean, it makes more sense when we do the marijuana episode, but good thing for us, there's multiple songs from them that we can use. I'm Johnny Florida, and welcome to another edition of The Reality Check. Hoping to see who's going to be coming on today. I got a feeling today's episode may be a bit of a duller episode, although it shouldn't be. And that's because of the topic, you know, we've talked about so far on this show. When it comes to the vices, we've talked about drugs, we've talked about alcohol, you know, we've talked about other stuff. You know, I mean, I've done an episode about veterans and our psychology outside the vices. I've talked about depression, religion, you know, we're getting so good on all these episodes so far. And I decided that... And I decided to have for this as well, and I'm looking forward to all this. Let me turn it down even more. So anyway, so today's episode is probably going to be about the dullest item when it comes to the vices, because, and I think the part of it is because of the psychology of the fact that it's legal, you know, and that's none other than nicotine and tobacco, you know. And I know this, again, some people may be listening going, really? I mean, going to talk about nicotine and tobacco? What's so exciting about the psychology of it? Again, it goes back to legality. You know, there's a different psychology with every different kind of vice. You know, if it's something like sex, there's certain taboos and everything. You got to take a look and see, okay, what's the age requirement, stuff like that. How old are you? How old is your partner? And now, of course, there could be something like, okay, she's 17 and you're 47. Problem, dude. But if, say, you know, 16 and 19, not too far off, you know. But, you know, you got stuff like with marijuana or other drugs, completely illegal, yet people still take it because they enjoy, so they risk it. Tobacco, on the other hand, is the most blatant. Let's think about all the vices. I mean, food is another one as well, and so is gambling, you know. But, like, you can't gamble until you're... You can't drink alcohol till you're 21. You can't gamble till you're 21. You know, sex, depending on the state, here in the United States, it's mostly 16 federally, and in most states, 17, 18. You know, so that's treated a little differently. But tobacco is the youngest on the widespread. At 18, you can immediately start smoking in this country. Now, I know that when I lived in Alaska, 19 is the age requirement to purchase tobacco. That's what they try to do to curb teen smoking. And I think Hawaii just raised it. Hawaii and California raised it to 19 as well to consume tobacco. So, you know, and the song is over, so let me just knock that out before we get in, before we hear the next song. Don't get me wrong, it's good. You know, now, like Scott Greer is saying, he did all that stuff before 18, but there is the legal ramifications. There are people, Scott, that will wait until they're the legal age to consume whatever it is, whether it's sex, or whether it's marijuana in the states where it's legal, or whether it's alcohol. Tobacco is one as well, and it's the biggest rampant one. As soon as you turn 18, what can you do? You can join the military without your parents, and you can without parental consent. You know, like, I joined at 17, and my parents signed me over. So, fun stuff. Or tobacco. You know, I was able to smoke the second I turned 18, all of us. People may smoke before they turn 18, but there are the people that will wait. And, you know, there were people that will smoke at 16 or 17, and for the most part, people don't lose their minds over it because it's tobacco, so we've dulled down to it. Just like how we've been dulling down to marijuana over the years, and, you know, that will be coming up in an upcoming episode for the vices of here on Reality Check will be marijuana, and I know it's going to be a fun episode. Guys like Papa Dave and Jenkins, I'm hoping, will be on because they are our green leafy substances on the show. But I thought tobacco would still be a good one because, one, it is still a vice, and two, the fact that it's the most legal of all devices that has any age requirements, you know. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, like I talked about the whole thing with sex, you know, it depends on your age or who and what and stuff like that, so there's still some taboos. Tobacco, for the most part, the taboo is kind of gone. You know, so it's like, but, you know, and Scott Greer as well, he's mentioned how he's an expert too, so that's a good point. You know, I'll probably have Scott call in at some point if he wants during that episode when we do the marijuana. But, you know, tobacco has been so big in this country all the years back. You know, there were founding fathers who smoked, kings and queens who smoked, emperors who smoked, you know, generals, admirals, first ladies, presidents, people smoked. You know, President Obama, we knew, was an avid smoker. John Adams, the president, he was a smoker. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Lincoln smoked. God knows if stuff like the patch or the gum existed back then. If you had somebody who didn't want to smoke while as president because of the looks and everything, they probably would have been chewing gum up the ass. But, you know, it all depends. And there's such big battles and fights when it comes to tobacco. And I'm not talking about in the society. I mean, mostly with parents with their kids underage smoking. But when it comes to legal, it comes into it because it's a big business. And I think this will come to be the same thing for, like, marijuana in coming years. You know, we'll see the fights like this. But tobacco is one of the only vices that we have gone down in numbers over the years. Yet it's still some of the most profits. That's the surprising thing, you know. Some countries, they're very big about smoking. You know, if I remember right, there was a thing about when Philip Morris International, big tobacco brand company, they were suing Uruguay. I believe it was like 60% of all adults smoke in something like that in Uruguay. I got to double check on that. You know, you got some countries like Russia. Colder countries, people will smoke more because it kind of numbs them out. You know, I mean, it's not the biggest thing like morphine or anything, but it still does numb out. You know, that's why you always see the people that will be outside in the frigid snow just because they got to get that cigarette, you know. I mean, it's more than other reasons as well, but that helped out. I remember when I was in Germany and I would smoke and it was colder weather, it helped out a little bit. Or at least you felt like it helped out, so there was that. But here's one of the things, you know, I'm looking at the numbers right now, courtesy of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. You know, so technically it's the CDCP, but they never changed the letters. It's kind of like, you know, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives. Even though they added the explosives, they never added the E, so it's still called the ATF. Because that's what people know it by. But I pulled up some numbers from the CDC, and it shows the current amount of smoking in the United States. Now listen to this. These are from the CDC. Tobacco use remains the single largest preventable cause of death and disease in the United States. Cigarette smoking kills more than 480,000 Americans each year, with more than 41,000 of these deaths from exposure to secondhand smoke. So there's some stats on that at some point. I could click on the figure. In addition, smoking-related illness in the United States costs more than $300 billion a year, including nearly $170 billion in direct medical care for adults and $156 billion in lost productivity. In 2016, an estimated 15.5%, a.k.a. 37.8 million of the U.S., were current cigarette smokers. Of these, 76% smoked every day. So 76%, 37.8, 38 divided by 2 is 19, 19 divided by 2. Okay, rounded up to 20, 10, 9.5 off of. So we're talking about 28 million people smoke every day. That sounds like a low number in many cases. You know, now keep in mind it's 15% of adults. So that means anybody of 18 and above. They show by gender, 17.5% of all men smoke. Women, 13.5%. You know, by age, 13% of all adults 18 to 24. 25 to 44, it's 17.5%, 18% for 45 to 64, and almost 9% for 65 years of age and older. So the highest group is the 45 to 64. You know, by a quick thing, by race and ethnicity, surprisingly, the highest group, and actually it's not entirely surprising if you think about it, the two biggest groups are 25% of all people that are multiple races that are not Hispanic, so it could be like a mixture of Asian and white, or Asian and black, black and white, stuff like that. But the biggest one as well, non-Hispanic grouping of American, Indian, and Alaskan natives, 32%. That's the highest amount. Asians only at 9%, non-Hispanic blacks 16.5%, Hispanics 10.7%. So that gives you some quick numbers. You know, tobacco usage is gone down a lot. I mean, I'm trying to remember the exact amount. I'm pulling it up as well. The highest percentage of smoking in the U.S., you know, here we go. Overall cigarette smoking has declined. 2005, 21% of people smoked. In 2016, 15.5%. So that's a big amount, as we've seen a drop since just 2005. And if we were at 15.5% in 2016, we're probably at 15% by now. So that's a drop of 6% over a matter of 13 years. You know, and I can only imagine how it was. I know, like, you know, back in the day, you know, and I know Papa Dave remembers these days, the days when you had, like, guys like Camel Joe and the Marlboro Man, you know, running rampant. I mean, it was amazing what they would do, how it was. You know, the Marlboro Man was a famous item for Marlboro commercials and everything, sitting out and, you know, the essence of the cowboy, as they would talk about. And on Camel Joe, who I thought was smooth and everything, you know, Joe smooth, Joe cool. And I know Joe cool was, oh my God, Snoopy, yeah, went by that as well. But you know, it really shows how the time. And we've tightened our restrictions for when it comes to tobacco. It's kind of funny, you know. We can see ads all the time for alcohol, for wine, for beer, but you can't see ads for tobacco. Now I'm talking about video form. You can see them on billboards. You can see them in magazines. So that's I think they call it like literature advertisement. That's okay. But video advertisement and audio advertisement, no. Now, that said, they still make a lot of money. You know, they do great stuff. I mean, and what I mean by great stuff, I'm talking about business. You know, there are places like in Indonesia where it's popular. You know, John Oliver showed up an item from a news article where they showed in Indonesia there was actually a sponsored tobacco shop, like sponsored basically by Marlboro, and it was right outside of a high school in Indonesia. People could go buy individual cigarettes for like a dime. And they even had as they point out, a lighter on a string. Because God forbid a kid actually brings a lighter into school. That's dangerous, if you get the joke. But, you know, it's kind of crazy how it is, you know, in some places with the amount of smoking and the stuff. I know that Australia, they worked at fighting against it, and they won a lawsuit against Philip Morris International. Philip Morris has sued the hell out of countries. They sued Australia. They've sent lawsuits to Namibia and Southern Africa and Togo and West Africa, because Togo tried to put in, I showed some people, like I think I showed Scott Greer, there is they have these things called plain packaging laws in some countries, like in Europe and Australia. What they do is they have a single brand on the bottom or the top, like a plain color. Could be red, could be green, whatever it may be, and then it has the name of the brand. It could be like, you know, Marlboro NXT, which is actually a name of a tobacco, guys, at Marlboro NXT, seriously. And Dave, yes, Togo, that small little country in West Africa, they actually sued the hell out of them. It was stupid. And I'll get to Togo in a second. They wanted these plain packaging laws that other countries have, so they got a single brand, a line, a thick line, and it has the name of the brand, you know, Marlboro NXT, for sake of the argument. And then it shows a picture of something creepy, like a nightmarish eyeball with like those wires. Like, you know, like you see, like when like during surgery they gotta do something with the eye, and they got like the wires that keep the eye open during surgery. They have that, and talk about something like what, like tobacco does damage to the eyes and everything. They'll show like a diseased lung. They'll show you some other kind of stuff, and they'll say a note underneath on the bottom, and that's what some countries have. If Luke Birch, Luke, if you could just take a picture and show, like, get a picture for me, if you can find it online and share in the chat room. If anybody's listening on the recording, well, sucks to be you, you're missing out on the chat room. But if you can just get a link or something to a picture of a British one, you know what, I'll pull it up as well. Because I want to see one that's, like, natural for him, because I want Luke to pick it up, because maybe I'll pick something, and he'll say, that one's not really common here in the UK too much anymore, you know what I mean? So I don't know. British tobacco pack. And there's actually, yeah, there you go. Perfect. That's the one right there I was talking about. And I'm putting this link right now into the chat room for everybody to see. And Luke, I want you to look at this link I just put in the chat room, and I want you to tell me if that's actually what you see, if that's normal in the United Kingdom. Here's another one which says UK duty paid. You know, because I was talking about, like, duty-free shops and stuff like that. And they'll have those. Now, in Togo, they tried doing the same thing. Togo got sued by Philip Morris Africa, West Africa branch, because they wanted to do, because the fact is they did the same thing. They put like some, like this giant warning and everything, similar to how we have the Surgeon General's warning, but it's such a small thing now on the packs and everything. So they put the, they tried to do the plain packaging laws and everything, and they had, warnings written as well in French, Ayray, and Cavier. It's the three, you know, yeah, that is what they look like over here. Perfect. So, yeah, and Luke, Scott Greer is looking at the pictures and he's like, gross. Like, that's exactly what they show. Because they're trying to warn people about the effects of smoking. Now, they, the Togolese speak mainly three languages. They speak French because they were a French colony. And then for the cultural of the tribes of, Togo, they speak Ayray, which is also popular in eastern Ghana, and, Kabye. And, so they had that. The problem is most of the Togolese adults, most of Togo is illiterate. So people can't read so much. So they wanted to put pictures and everything on it. And, what is it? So Philip Morris West Africa sued them, took them to court and everything, and they ended up giving up and stopped trying to push for the plain packaging laws and everything like that with the pictures. And the problem is because Togo is one of the 10 poorest countries on the planet. Like, to give a comparison, the GDP of the entire nation is like only $2 billion more than the box office for the movie Avatar, you know? And I'm taking that reference from John Oliver. He said that, so I'm giving him credit. But that's legit. I took a look at those numbers. He wasn't kidding. You know, Togo couldn't handle it. Uruguay, they got sued by Philip Morris International. Most of, you know, because they were trying to do some other stuff as well. And even a majority of smokers in Uruguay was supportive of these warnings and stuff like that. But the company sued them. They sent a thing out to the Solomon Islands out in the Pacific. You know, so like, think about that. Just off the top of my head, from what I remember, and they sued Namibia, which is in southern Africa, Togo in West Africa, Australia in the Oceania. Also in Oceania, they sued. They were going to sue the Solomon Islands and Uruguay in South America. And let alone the idea if they would have lawsuits here, they used to in the past. They've learned to live with what we've got. So in the U.S. and probably Canada, in the U.K. they probably as well. I know one of the things as well they tried doing was when they were suing Australia, they tried getting the Ukrainian government to get involved against Australia, saying that it was affecting their commerce and everything like that when they were doing stuff with tobacco, because it would hurt their industry, or when it came to tariffs or taxes, something like that, because then the business would go down. Is the Rick Stevens of Vice's podcast? And yeah, I try to be. So, and the funny thing was, there was actually a member of parliament from Ukraine who was dumbfounded by the whole thing and pointed out that they have a zero expert with Australia when it comes to tobacco. So there's like there's literally no import export between Australia and Ukraine, and they still got Ukrainian politicians to get involved in stuff because they had the money to be able to pull it off, which is bull. And the stuff with Australia, they pulled some dipshit stuff as well. When they lost the case against Australia, here's what they did. They found an old policy that was made between Australia and Hong Kong when Hong Kong was finally given away from the British and given back to China. Hong Kong was able to actually have a policy that was made when it came to commerce. There was mostly Chinese government is involved in this kind of stuff, but they were allowed a limited amount of autonomy right before they got turned over to the Chinese. On this case for commerce. So there was actually a trade deal set between Australia and Hong Kong back in like 1996 and 97, right before they got turned over, that said that Australia could not impede on Hong Kong commerce and business and companies and everything. So like any intellectual property of any companies that were based out of Hong Kong, Australia could not impede in them. And that became a problem. So what happened was Philip Morris International took their Australian branch, officially put it inside the corporate chain of their Hong Kong-based Philip Morris Asia, waited about 8 or 9 months, and then they sued, saying that Australia was impeding on intellectual property rights of a Hong Kong-based company. And last I heard, they still lost that case. I got to double check on that. But this is the kind of shit these guys come through. So now I'm talking all this business and everything. Someone's going to say, what does this guy do when it comes to the idea of being a vice itself? Because this is the extent we will go for this business. Not just the business people, but also the people. People are so intertwined when it comes to tobacco. You know, they will outright Again, I apologize for our nation fucking up over Hong Kong. Yeah, it's okay, Luke. I wish Hong Kong was with you guys as well. So, but we're so ingrained. Tobacco, I consider to be the biggest of the known vices. Now, I'm speaking like Peggy Hill right now because it's probably something that's automatic. You know, like in my, the day after Thanksgiving is, in my opinion, the most, the biggest, shopping day of the year. Well, no shit. It's Black Friday. You know, the day before Thanksgiving is, in my opinion, one of the busiest travel days of the year. No shit. Anyway, so I'm not trying to sound arrogant like that, but I would personally say isolate the idea of tobacco for this is the fact that soda and caffeine is a vice. It is a vice, you know, and everything. It's actually a legalized drug courtesy of the U.S. government. That's why we have a soda tax, you know. Alcohol is a vice, but we've got to wait till we're 21. And there's such a big thing about drunk driving and excessive drinking and drinking underage, all that. No one loses their mind over a 16, 17-year-old smoking tobacco, except for dad or mom. That's about it. At least one of them usually is guilty themselves because they did it before they were 18. But we seem to be so low-key if someone's smoking. Yeah, it's like, okay, please don't smoke in my house. Please, I have a child now. Can you just not smoke when the kid when they're around? And it's like, okay, whatever. We're fine about that. But for the most part, we're okay. You know, okay, no more smoking indoors. So people smoke outdoors. There's all stuff like that. But I do see it as the biggest vice, the fact that we have normalized it so much. And that's not to say a negative thing. You know, if you do things in moderation, you're fine and everything. And there's so many different forms of tobacco and nicotine. Like I said, whether it's the gum, whether it's the patch, whether it's dip, whether it's pouches, whether it's just loose tobacco from a bag or whatever, like the old baseball players. You know, not even talking about the can thing. I'm talking about like the bag, you know, that you would get, you know, long cuts and everything. Whether it's a form of cigarette, whether it's a cigar, whether it's a cigarillo, whether it's vaping, you know. And I'm saying that because of the fact that the girlie, she is a vapor. So, which I have no problem with. It smells like cherries, even though it's not. It's actually pineapple and mango. But I'll say cherries just because it annoys her. But in any case, take a deep cleansing breath. Thank you for not colonizing. There you go. But we have normalized it so much to the point that we don't really put up much of a fuss about it, which again is okay. But that also kind of shows the psychological mindset that comes with the tobacco. So what is the tobacco? In most cases, let's take a cigar, for example. It's a pure leafy substance that's been dried up, and then multiple of them have been put together and then rolled up and rolled up and everything, you know, solidified, wrapped up, and, you know, you put a band on it or whatever for the designer so you could show what your company is. And then, you know, snip, snip at the ends and everything, and then you light it up and you smoke and you enjoy. Tobacco, you go a little more because you actually inhale. If anybody here ever tries to inhale a cigar, trust me, you're not going to have a good time. I turned green one time and accidentally inhaling a Cuban cigar. And when I say accidentally, I mean accidentally. I breathed it all. I blew it all out. And then, of course, I blew out so much. So it's like, okay, I'm out of oxygen. I got to breathe in. I caught some of it back. Bad day. Bad day for me. But, yeah, it was a bad day in that case, you know, but it happens. That's how you learn. I've never done it since. With tobacco, of course, you do inhale, but there's a little bit more involved with that. A lot less tobacco leaves and everything. Usually it's cut up and everything and packed together inside the wrapping, but there could be other stuff. There's the direct nicotine. There's tar, you know, I don't think you do it with cigarettes, or at least not anymore. I think they may have done it in the past. Dave, please comment on this part. But like, you know, I don't know if they still do it with cigarettes. I don't think so. But I do know, of course, like you get like a can of Skoal, Wintergreen, anything. What they do is, to help it get into your system and everything more, there's actually little bits and pieces of fiberglass in like a can of Skoal. You put it in your mouth and it cuts open your lip, so that way the tobacco starts seeping in like that and everything, and that's how you get the direct result from it. And I know I may sound stupid or something like that when it came to like the idea of saying fiberglass for the cigarettes or something, but I could have sworn I remember hearing that at one time that was done or something like that. So I'm very vague on that. But then you got the pouches, you know. And Dave, I know you don't dip, but I'm talking about the idea of the fact that fiberglass was done in cigarettes. You know, that's what I'm asking. I could have sworn I heard about that, you know, but I could have just been an idiot or misheard something. So that's what I'm trying to clarify on that one. But then you got, you know, you got the gum, which is pure nicotine item, you know, of course, with the gummy substance and make it into a gum form. You got a patch and everything as well that you would utilize to get the nicotine into your system, like on your arm, on your leg or whatever, stuff like that. We have so many forms of trying to get ourselves the tobacco and or the nicotine. Like I said, you got a patch, you got a gum, you got a cigarette, you got a cigarillo, you got a cigar, you got pouches, you got long cut, you got loose plant itself. You could probably grab a piece and just off of a plant and probably just start chewing it. Probably wouldn't recommend it. You know, I'm not a farmer, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know. All these different facets. And we've taken so much into the tobacco, you know, that the idea, like I mentioned about, like, the Marlboro Man, who was one of the most iconic figures of this country, you know, you'd have, like, Walter Cronkite or some of the other great newsmen of the past, when they start coming in, it'd be like, you know, Marlboro Tobacco presents, you know, the Daily News or whatever it may be, you know. It was a normal thing. You'd see, like, old things. There's an episode of a black and white episode of the Flintstones where Barney and Fred are just smoking a cigarette. You know, it was a normal thing, even in children's cartoons. You know, no one thought anything of it too much. Yeah, keep away from kids, but it wasn't a big deal for the shows and everything. You know, we've changed over society over time. Now we're more PC on some things, which have gone crazy. We've gotten rid of some things, which makes sense. You know, that's why we don't allow ads for tobacco, because of the fact that kids can't have it. Ironically, kids can't have alcohol either, but we allow that. And I think it's because of the fact of the whole secondhand thing. Who knows? You know, and that's what we've also done, is we've gone out to, because we've learned over time, we've learned more and more of the health effects. You know, back in the day when people had, like, lung cancer and stuff like that, they used to also wonder, like, okay, did this guy ever work in a quarry or in a mine? Was he like a coal miner or something, inhaling all that black dust and getting black lung disease and everything like that? Was it something else? You know, sometimes they suspected maybe it's the tobacco, and then eventually we got to the point that the Surgeon General's warning was created, you know, and the Surgeon General is the Chief Medical Officer of the United States and one of the senior ranking officers of the Public Health Service and the head of the Public Health Service Commission Corps. Yes, check that out, PHSCC. So, yeah. Yeah, I actually got to a point where I think the Surgeon General of the Navy was actually talking, and they were trying to, I think they were looking at banning tobacco products on Navy and Marine Corps bases. That was the fun thing. So, but, you know, another breath. Accessibility is the big thing when it comes to a vice. How much do we want it? How much do we not want it? There are people who will not smoke tobacco because to them it's like, there could be one thing. Well, of course, we know about the health effects of tobacco, which is a valid item, but then they'll say they smoke pot. Now, medically speaking, no damage can be done with pot. You know, just make sure you don't smoke so much to the point that you can't even breathe or you're coughing up a lung. And I know you're not going to literally cough up a lung, but you don't want it at the point where you have no oxygen in the air. You know what I mean? The only real damage is maybe you'll put on 20 pounds because you had to eat everything in the fucking fridge. You know, where's the fucking cheese? No cheese. Cheese is gone. You ate all the cheese. I hate you for that. You know, but you'll have people that are where there are some people that they'll smoke marijuana and not tobacco because the urge to have something that's not allowed. You know, marijuana is still treated as a taboo in Alaska, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, that's five, Colorado, now Michigan, Massachusetts, Vermont, Maine, 10 states in Washington, D.C. we now have. That's right, it would have been 11 if North Dakota passed it. They'll pass it in 2020. I'm willing to put my money down on that. The fact that it's a rebellious item to have, you know, people think about it. What is it when we're growing up as kids or something? You know, our parents tell us we can't have something, so we want it. It's the red ball theory. You can't play with that red ball. Jerry's playing with the red ball. Now, oh, I want to play with the red ball now. But 5 minutes ago, you didn't want to play with the red ball. You could have played with the red ball, but you didn't want to. But then Jerry grabbed it, and of course, you're like, fuck Jerry, I want the red ball. You know, that's what we do is when we're a kid. You know, someone else wants it, then we want it even more. someone tells you you can't have it, then you want it more. And that's what can be, is that some people, they'll smoke marijuana instead of smoking tobacco because of the fact that it's like, well, they can have tobacco, you know? Now, if they're under 18, they can't have either anyway. If they're under 19 in places like Alaska and I think Hawaii. Accessibility can play into it. There are people who, that's all they'll smoke, is they'll smoke tobacco and not marijuana because they don't want to commit a crime. You know, people will wait. Look, like, take me. I probably tried my mom's cigarette once or twice when I was growing up or something like that, but I didn't really try smoking until I was in Iraq. I'm 19 years old at this point. And, I like Papa Dave. Yeah, fuck Jerry and his Red Bull, that bastard. By the way, Dave Bassett is spelled A-R-D, not E-R-D. Just letting you know. Love you. Even though you hate me right now. Just remember, Jesus can walk on water, but that means he can't take a bath, like we talked about. Any case, people will, I didn't start smoking until I was 19 years old in Iraq. I didn't try drinking, really, until I got to Germany, and I only did it like once or twice or three times. You know, and I could. Drinking age in Germany is 16, and the U.S. military allowed it on base at the age of 18. So I could have enjoyed it, but I wanted to wait to be the good soldier. That was stupid and everything. I wanted to wait till I was 21. What happened? I came back from Iraq, 20. I was drinking every day. I was going to the club every Friday. A lot of the Saturdays, went to the Massafale, great club, missed that club, underground style club. But, you know, there were some people that they won't do something because it's not legal. Take me. Look at this. I do this show with two potheads. If Angela would be on, that'd be three. Yuck Nasty or somebody else calls in, that's a fourth one right there. You know, I'm surrounded by doobies, you know, and I haven't done it. And the guys want to get me to smoke and everything, but because of the fact that I have backgrounds in government jobs, and I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't have a government job now, guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if I had another government job. And of course, one of the questions they ask is, have you partaken in marijuana in the last 12 months? And if I have to say yes, I'm probably screwed. Now, someone could say, well, that's a pretty shitty thing for them to worry about. It's like, well, if they're trying to narrow down the list, it's a cheap way to get, to knock down that list. You know what I mean? And Dave is saying he's not a fucking pothead. Okay, whatever. He is a cannabis connoisseur. Pinkies up. There you go, Dave. Now you're fancy. Bit of fuck. But, you know, so to not want to break the law is a big thing. And that's another reason with the psychology is that people will partake in tobacco. And that number would, I'll tell you this, guys. I'll tell you this. The more marijuana becomes legalized, the bigger the tobacco industry is going to take the hit. Because I guarantee the tobacco industry knows this. They know that the more marijuana becomes legal, the more they're going to lose customers. Because people are going to be saying, now there'll probably be of people, of course, still, who they'll smoke tobacco and they'll smoke marijuana. You know, my own cousin, just the other day, Thanksgiving, what did he do? He tried to offer me some marijuana. It's a liquid form. He has a medicinal marijuana card because medical marijuana is now legal in Florida. So he partakes in it. He offered it to me. It was a very little amount. And guess what? I said no to him because I just had to. There's nothing wrong with marijuana, you know. Not to me. I say go for it, you know. Treat it the same as alcohol, so, you know, DUI and stuff if you're driving. But other than that, be fine. Enjoy it, you know. Just remember, your refrigerator is going to be empty tomorrow, so you better get ready to hurt your bank account. But I got no problem with people who smoke it one bit, but I just can't because it's not legal for me to do it and stuff like that. And if I were to get a job down the road with the government and everything, once they say government employees can enjoy THC, cannabis, marijuana, but you just can't partake it within 8 hours of starting work, guess what? I'm going to be enjoying it. I guarantee it. And just to make sure I make Jenkins and Scott Greer and Dave feel better, I'm probably going to end up flying to meet with one of them at some place and try it the first time with them because God knows they want to see how fucked up I get on my first time. Like, dude, how much pot did you give him that he's so fucked up? He had one puff. No shit. Yeah, it's his first time. He's a little bitch. And yes, I'm quoting Jenkins. I know that's what he's going to say about me. Hell, he says that about me right now, so I'm not far off. But, you know, our psychology with something that is legal and not legal. That's why I want to do an episode on tobacco, because I really want to show the differences of how things are when it comes to, like, drugs. And I'm going to talk about when it comes to marijuana. Marijuana is such a big topic in itself. We could talk endlessly on it. And the fact that it's quasi-legal now, the fact that we have the capital, Washington, D.C., and 10 states legalized, the fact that our neighbors up north in Canada became the second nation in the planet to fully legalize it across the country, second after, guess what, a country I mentioned earlier, Uruguay, you know, it's going to be a big topic for that because of our psychology changing. It's like people going, we've gotten to the point of, oh, it's not as big a deal if you smoke pot or whatever like that, but there are some things you have to worry about, you know, if you're getting a government job or passing a drug test, stuff like that. But in many other facets, you know, with tobacco, we don't have to worry about it. It's legal. You know, now there are some companies that are trying to curb the tobacco that they actually offer people bonuses to not smoke. Like, they offer maybe, like, I've heard some companies do, like, what is it, like a $300 a year bonus or something if you don't smoke. So it's their way of getting rid of, helping curb the tobacco numbers and stuff like that. So, and if you got, now someone's going to say, well, maybe they smoke when they're at home. Probably, but that just means they're not taking smoke breaks and everything. So you're actually making more money by doing more work because you're not taking smoke breaks all the time. But when you have something that you have readily accessible and when you have something that you're told it's okay to have, you know, it's the same as just like, you know, swear words. Imagine the first time when you were young and your parents said you can say damn. Now that's nothing. That's not a bad word. No one gets mad and everything. Now the only words people worry about is shit, fuck, a couple things you could say, a couple other words you could say when it comes to parts of a lady, which I'm not going to say right now. But stuff like that. For the most part, words aren't a bad deal. If you say crap, if you say damn, but back when you were like 12 or 13 and you were finally allowed to say it or something like that, you know, maybe your parents allowed you to say it at 7 or 8, maybe they'd said you couldn't say it until you were 18. Who knows? But even when you had that, it was an exhilaration because now you're allowed to have it and you're allowed to utilize it. And it may feel like nothing now over time. That's what's happened with tobacco, is that as you get older, it may not be a big deal. Now, maybe you're addicted to the nicotine, so it sticks around. But maybe you don't get addicted and you just drop it. You know, it could be at the point, like I mentioned with marijuana, that the more people consume marijuana, the less people are going to be consuming tobacco because people will start off in consuming both. You know, buy a little bit of weed because they got to pay those high taxes. Because for every $50 you're buying of spending on marijuana, you got to spend another $25 for the taxes on top. So you're actually paying $75. You know, because I think every state that basically is doing this, it's like a 50% tax. They're being smart about it when it comes to that. And over time, it's going to get to the point of saying, oh, I could buy more marijuana. I could buy this, that. You're going to buy a cheaper brand. Maybe you're just going to get the simple Reg, as like Papa Dave and Jenkins have talked about. And you're paying little for that, and you just stop smoking tobacco, and you're just on that. The tobacco industry is severely worried when it comes to marijuana. Their industry is going to be going down. They're making some profit on what they're doing, and it's amazing what they've been able to do over the years. But they're the ones most worried. Their business, it's the same as like when I mentioned like with John D. Rockefeller. Who was the biggest opponent of electricity? John Rockefeller. Why? Because kerosene, courtesy of Standard Oil, lit this country across the nation. It lit the homes and businesses and warehouses and everything with those kerosene lamps. And then what happened? Thomas Edison, with the money from J.P. Morgan, was able to create direct current, and then his protege, who ends up leaving him, Nikola Tesla, is able to perfect alternating current, and links up with George Westinghouse, who eventually, of course, sells a lot of rights over and everything to J.P. Morgan because of some strong-arming, and then eventually that's what happens, is that the two things emerge together. J.P. Morgan utilizes alternating current and changes the name of the Edison Lighting Company to Electric Company to General Electric, or GE, as we now know it today. The biggest person against it was John Rockefeller because he knew if electricity took off, his kerosene industry was to be destroyed. And that started to happen. And now kerosene is a small little thing. But he at least got smart. He started looking and saw the waste of the product that they had of some liquids when they were refining the oil to make kerosene. He found something that they were throwing away, which was gasoline. And they started realizing that they can create an engine with some things and create eventually the combustion engine. He was able to make his industry to this day. Some of the companies that were part of Standard Oil were Exxon, Mobil, and Chevron. all those gas stations were originally part of one company until the monopoly lawsuit against him, against Standard Oil back in like 1914. Something like that. And it broke the company up into like 36 smaller companies, which made J.D. Rockefeller even richer because of the fact that he was still allowed to own stock in every one of the companies. He just couldn't be majority owner because then it was going to go back to the whole monopolizing thing. But he made so much money off of all that. If the tobacco industries were able to figure out a way to do the same thing, it would be smart as hell, you know? But the problem is, what else can they do with tobacco? It's a very limited thing. What would be smart for them is to get into the marijuana industry. And I know Marlboro has already done that. I've always seen packages. Marlboro, in other countries, already makes marijuana cigarettes. It's a, you know, there was the Marlboro NXT, which had like a, neon green stripes with a black coloring and everything. With those packets, these ones are purely like a, not a lime green, a little bit darker, but a green packaging. And it's for marijuana cigarettes. If these tobacco companies would just be smart, you know, they're one of the biggest people that are fighting against tobacco. I mean, against marijuana is the tobacco industry. Yes, we hear about big lumber and other companies because of the hemp that can be used to make paper and stuff like that. And that is still true to this day. But a big industry is the tobacco industry because that's their main opponent. Tobacco is legal. Marijuana is not. If the marijuana keeps growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and to the point that legality is across the country, they know they're going to stand to lose. If they would just be smart enough to say, we're just going to invest in marijuana. And again, I know I'm going to go back on this diatribe when we do the marijuana episode, but it links into this as well because it goes back to the fact that they fear the decline of tobacco over the years. And I'm not saying tobacco is going to become non-existent, but right now we're at 15.5% of all adults in this nation smoke. I wouldn't be surprised if, give it 10 years, that thing's going to be down to maybe 10%. Because as more and more marijuana grows and everything, the percentage is going to go down over time at a faster rate than the past. People have gone down on tobacco because of health and stuff like that, or all these extra laws and stuff, you know, when it comes to, oh, no smoking indoors, no this or that. Some states now, they say you cannot smoke if there's a child in the vehicle, which, that makes sense. I'm okay with that. But people just say, screw it, I'm just going to be done smoking or whatever. Now, is that a lot of people? No. It's a small amount, but that's why it's taken so long for those numbers to go down. Now that marijuana is going up, with the most populated state in the country, California, legalizing it, with the entire Pacific coast, if you don't count Hawaii, I mean, it's not on the continental U.S., so it's not technically part of the Pacific coast, but all that, Las Vegas, Nevada, you got Denver, major city with Colorado, Michigan just approved it, and they got cities like Ann Arbor, East Lansing, Detroit, the Superior Peninsula, that's not a big populated area, but you got that as well. That whole area, North Dakota almost passed it, which tells me the fact that North Dakota will pass it, which tells me that South Dakota, Minnesota, probably Wisconsin, these old things are going to be coming around. And I talked about the referendum when it came to marijuana as well, to Yucknes. It happened in the 16 counties, I think, in Wisconsin. You know, in the next coming years, the Midwest is going to be the big hit as well. I won't be surprised if in the coming years, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. There's a lot of business people in Connecticut, so they'll probably be the last of the six New England states. But by doing that, the number of tobacco smokers in these states are going down. If you get New York and Illinois, Florida, and Texas to legalize marijuana, tobacco industry is going to be bankrupt in a matter of 10 years in terms of the amount of expenses right now. Now, I mean, they're going to be cutting down and downsizing over time, so they won't be. But they are going to be losing a lot of money over the time, and they know that. That's why they're trying to curb as long as they can. If they just got smart and involved in the marijuana industry, we wouldn't have to worry. But that's why the number is still as high as it is. Like I said, tobacco industry is on a decline. They've made some profit and stuff, and they've gotten smart by going out to other countries and expanding over there. Singapore, if I remember right, is a big place when it comes to smoking. Indonesia, in many places, because the fact that Indonesia is a Muslim country, the largest of the Muslim countries in the planet. It's got over 200 million Muslims, more than any other place in the planet. I think Pakistan is second place with the second most amount of Muslims. And by doing that, you know, a lot of Muslim countries that can't consume alcohol. There are places that you can, of course, but it depends on the country. Most traditional, you can't. Indonesia, it's mostly hit or miss. I believe they allow alcohol in the country because there's a lot of tourism from places like Asia, and it makes no sense for them to go say no alcohol in the entire country if they got a lot of people from China and Thailand coming down south, so they know it's good for their business. But most of the Muslims, they do not partake as well in alcohol. But yeah, you were right. Yeah. But You know, so because it does affect the industry like that. But tobacco, on the other hand, it's not a big deal. So they can still continue going with that facet. And growing it. Let's see. Dave's been saying nicotine and THC, way different. This is very true, Dave, but it's also about the accessibility and the law. You know, there are some places, in Singapore, if you smuggle drugs into the country, which it's a city state, but if you smuggle drugs into the country and they find it, the penalty can be death. And they've utilized it. Rodrigo Duterte, the former mayor of, Davao City. He's now the president of the Philippines. He is heavily against drugs. He's had his own kill squads. They've gone out and gone after drug cartels and dealers and gangs and like that. And they have killed people trying to knock down drugs in the Philippines. You know, you got countries like that. But tobacco is not seen as a drug. I don't think there's a single country on the planet that sees tobacco as an illegal drug when you exclude age limits. I don't think there's a single country on the planet. You know, there could be. I don't know. I will look that. Screw it. If I want to say this information, I need it. Countries where tobacco is illegal. There we go. Thank you, Global News Canada. I got to tell you, you got to love the Canadians sometimes. They are great when it comes to the oddball news. Starting to... Article from 2012, starting in December, there will be no more labels on cigarette packages in Australia. I already knew about that one. Saudi Arabia banned smoking in government places. Of course, knew that. Canada, smoking is banned in almost all enclosed public and workout places. Yeah, I knew about that. Here we go. One country, back in 2004. Oh, wait a minute. Quick thing on Costa Rica. Side note, passed one of the strictest smoking regulations in the world, prohibiting lighting up in taxis, buses, trainers, public buildings, yada, 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 yada. Similar stuff to what we got in this country. But one country has criminalized basically tobacco, banned the sale of tobacco, and to outlaw smoking in all public places. Meaning, you know, in 2010, they implemented one of the world's strictest anti-tobacco legislations by forbidding the sale or smuggling of tobacco. Those found guilty of the offense can serve a prison term for 3 to 5 years with no chance of being granted bail. What country did I just describe? That is the country of Bhutan, a small Asiatic country, if I remember right, cornered between India and China. That's the only country on the planet where tobacco is illegal. You know, a very Hindu country, you know. Not knocking them, but I'm just pointing out as a fact. So the fact that Bhutan, there's only one country where tobacco is illegal. You could have strict laws and everything like that. The fact that, you know, there is only one country that's criminalized tobacco. You know, of course, there's also the thing of selling to underage people and stuff like that, but that's about the age requirements. But tobacco itself is not an illegal drug. Every other country of the other 192 recognized nations of the United Nations all say that tobacco is fully legal. Think about that. So... That says a lot. Smoking in public places, been smoking in several public places, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, all these places I'm seeing is like these laws about smoking in public places, a private office space with air conditioning, stuff like that. Places like Colombia, Uruguay, Malaysia, Costa Rica, some stuff about Canada and Saudi Arabia, but those are just strict laws, but they still allow tobacco. Bhutan is the only one that doesn't. National smoke-free legislation covering all public indoor areas, partial national smoke-free except for entertainment restaurants, yada yada. Okay, there's different levels of what they call smoke-free restrictions. There are countries that have no known smoke-free restrictions. What it means is if a country is declared smoke-free, then that means there could be no tobacco. There's also partial smoke-free or patchy or inconsistent law enforcement, whatever that means. No national smoke-free legislation. Some localities have local restrictions. That's where countries like China and the United States fall into play, along with looks like Cambodia and Laos. The only other countries I see on the map doing that as well. You have places that are national smoke-free legislation for public areas except entertainment and restaurants. That includes places like a lot of Africa, Peru, Papua New Guinea, and stuff like that. You have national smoke-free legislation for public areas except entertainment and restaurants. Some localities have local restrictions. And that affects a lot of places like majority of Europe. And then you have countries that have what lists national smoke-free legislation covering all public indoor areas, sometimes with specific exceptions. And that includes most of the major countries of the planet, including Mongolia, Russia, Kazakhstan, Saudi Arabia, Australia, Canada, Mexico, Colombia, Nigeria, Iraq, Spain, Ukraine, and even the Republic of Turkey. So, there was no nation. The last Hindu monarchy was Nepal, and that did not end well. Well, I mean, you don't have to be. I don't think Bhutan's not a monarchy. I wasn't saying that, but they are a Hindu nation. They have a prime minister now. Now you got me wandering. My mind's wandering. Bordered by the Tibet Autonomous Region of China. Yeah, all this shit going on in Tibet. Yep. Here we go. The Bhutanese is a Hindu and Buddhist nation, so it's split, but they still have a king. Jigme Khesa Namgyel Wangchuck, with a prime minister, Lotte Sherin. And this king, and holy crap, is he handsome. Wow. The title is the Druk Gyalpo, which means Dragon King. Dude, that is ballin'. That is... look at that picture. Look at that picture. That is one handsome king. I mean, how old is he? What nations have mandatory death penalty for drug smuggling, and which nations is it optional? I don't know all the nations like that, Luke, but I do know that smuggling drugs, like I said, in Singapore, the penalty is death. Let's see. How old is this guy? He's been king since 2006. Some reason his coronation was not until 2008. He's 38 years old. No wonder. Boy, is he delicious. But, in any case, you know, that's the, you know, like I mentioned, you know, it's so much more when we talk about the psychology of a vice when it's illegal. But you got to remember something. When it comes to the legal, that's what shows the accessibility. When it's accessible and legal, you know, it's kind of like there's some other stuff out there, you know, same thing. Like, okay, you know, states like, you know, we could talk about a lot of other stuff like that. You know, for example, you know, abortion is legal in this country, but in places like California and New York, more likely to have it, one, because of the population, and two, they're very big about it, whereas other states like Alabama and Mississippi are so strict on the requirements, because, of course, they're anti-abortion, but they still have to allow it, that they make the restrictions so hard that there's so few frequent in between, as the saying goes. But same thing goes with tobacco. If the nation allows it, you know, then it's readily accessible, but maybe it's legal, but there's a lot of restrictions. Like I mentioned, in Alaska, you can't smoke. You can smoke at 18, but you can't buy it until 19. Hawaii, they criminalize it to where it's 19 for the age to smoke, you know? So, it's seen as a little different because when it's accessibility and legality, people do not fear the fact that the law is going to come down on them. How often is it like maybe some people that the first time they smoke marijuana or try, it's like, you know, what the cops find out, you know, they smoke that one puff and everything and they start freaking out and everything. Oh my God, I'm tripping on the marijuana. You know, I can't drive. I'm all messed up. You know, it's like that Hank Hill, that episode with Hank Hill and everything, King of the Hill. He had that one puff of marijuana accidentally, didn't realize that it wasn't just regular tobacco. So what does he do? He freaks out and runs over to the bathroom and starts trying to throw up. Hey, man, what are you doing over there? I am inducing vomiting. He's trying to throw it up. He had one puff of the marijuana, but he thinks that that's what's going to help it out. You know, some people freak out like that. You know, eventually they start thinking, okay, the law is not going to worry. You know, look at speeding. I drive 5 miles over the speed limit. Why? Because I know that here in Florida, the cops will pull you over and can only give you a ticket, a fine and a ticket once you hit 6 miles over the speed limit. Before that, they can only issue you a warning. And we know the cops are like that. In New York, you could go 7 miles over the speed limit. Georgia, apparently you can go as high as 10 over the speed limit. So, it depends on locality, and people know that in Florida you can go as high as 5 miles over the speed limit and not have to worry. It depends on where you're going, though. There are some towns like frickin' Moscow and Groveland, those two twin piles of shit. You know, you get pulled over for 3 miles over the speed limit and everything, and they'll issue you the ticket, and if you live in a faraway county, let's say I live down here over in Pinellas County. Let's say I were to drive up to go to Universal, whatever, and I drive through Lake County, and I have to go through Muskoka, Groveland. They pull me over. What are the odds that I'm going to go to court so I can tell the judge, Your Honor, this is stupid? Why am I going to spend all that time and energy and money, because if say I'm working, I gotta take a day out of work to drive up to Lake County. It's a nice county, don't get me wrong, but it's an hour and a half away. You know, now I gotta go out of my way to go there, spend the gas mileage, spend the time, and take the leave and everything. Some vacation time or leave without pay just to go to the court so they can knock down a freaking $75 fine. Just pay the fine and be done with it. You know, that's what we call, you know, we call those, traffic cities. You know, traffic cities, because speed trap towns. You know, because you know the second you go in there, the cops are just going to pull you over. I got pulled over when I was in Illinois. Granted, I was speeding a lot, but I found out that the police department, their jurisdiction technically did not, the city did not include that part of the interstate at all. The city limits ended two blocks away. But, technically speaking, a police officer from any city can go across and provide and pull you over for traffic for the entire state. Your law enforcement certification and swearing in, you have your jurisdiction within that city or that county or if you're a state officer, but all law enforcement officers are technically of the entire state. Now, that means that they cannot enforce local ordinance if they're in a different town, but they can pull you over, you know, for speeding. Usually they don't. They tend to respect each other's boundaries, and that's what happened when I went with that. Got pulled over by a cop from the Know Nothing Police Department of Mounds, Illinois, you know. And Luke Birch, are you in the 12th or the 13th district? I'm going to let you guess. I'm going to let you keep guessing, and, you know, I'm like when people ask Daniel Tosh if he's gay. I'd rather leave it a mystery, you know. But, so, anyway, got to get back on the topic of the tobacco. The topico. There you go. Tobacco topic. I'm so clever. Not really. But. I'm weird. What can I say? But, in any case, I feel like this is one of the reasons why I love having a co-host, because it's easy. I can spend more time, you know. But when you look over all this psychology of an item, can you have it? What's the excess? I mean, because trust me, when we get into the episode on vices of food, that's going to be a fun thing, because think about, here's a comparison when we talk about it like that. No one really shames anybody too much if you smoke marijuana. We still have that problem. There's still some people, but they don't specifically exile an individual. If you drink too much, you become an alcoholic, and you know that you can mess up and stuff like that. If you do hard drugs, then it's like, you know, maybe you're a low life or something. Depends on the person, what their view is on drugs. With food, for example, you gain so much in weight, people will chastise. People will hit, like, don't you think you should lose weight? You know, you're like, you're a little overweight. And they may be saying that when you're 50 pounds overweight. If you are 100 pounds overweight, they're going to say even more. And if you're 200, 300, 400 pounds overweight, then my God, you just, you know, people just give up on you at that point. You know, it's like they don't even want to be seen with you. You know, that's where you end up being a star on My 600 Pound Life. And it's like, ugh. But with tobacco, no one chastises someone because they smoke tobacco, if you're an adult, like I said. And even if you're underage, you know, school's got to follow policy and the law, so of course they got to punish you for that. But they're just going like that. They're not going to go nuts on you too much. Your parents might be the maddest of anybody, but that's about it. Society doesn't go crazy over a 16, 17-year-old smoking. My nana started smoking when she was 13. Her words. I wasn't there, you know. So, some people, they start smoking at a younger age, and people just, they look back, it's like, yeah, you know, it's not like a competition. Yeah, I started smoking when I was 18, when I was like, I started when I was 17. Oh, okay, you're a rebel. I did when I was 15. Oh, ooh, oh, heavy metal over here, you know. No, it's not a competition. No one loses, like, you know, maybe you get that a little bit when it comes to wisdom teeth. I had two of my wisdom teeth, but I had all four. Oh, okay. No, I had nine. They were all impacted. I got them all out. I was eating corn on the cob that afternoon, you know. A little bit of competition some people do with each other, but not with tobacco. No one loses their mind over it because we've gotten so normalized to it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just speaking that when you normalize, the psychology changes. And that's what I'm talking about with this. You know, I mean, I've gone an hour on this show, I really don't know much more that I can talk about this. I mean, for the next couple of minutes, if anybody wants to call in and give their reviews when it comes to tobacco and anything on their stuff, when it comes to their society, how the cultures are changing a little bit. Now, I know some places, if it's in the United States, we all know what it kind of is, but maybe it's a little bit of difference, like for Papa Dave in Texas, or maybe it's a little different for Scott Greer in New York. You know, maybe it's completely different for Luke Birch in the UK. I know one of the big things we got from tobacco was from the UK. I mean, it's not the only place, but, you know, aristocrats. Used to always be a thing, you know, a glass of wine and a cigarette on that long fucking stick, because God forbid you actually hold the cigarette yourself rather than put it in that damn tube so you can look fancy while you're at the fucking opera. You know, aristocracy, it's fun. Or aristocracy, whichever way you prefer to pronounce it. It's the same as like the argument between privacy and privacy. I prefer both. I am bi-privatetical. So... That's right. I privatize both ways. It was a privatise. Pinkies up, bitches. Anyway, yeah, I got a feeling probably no one's going to call him, but I'll kill a couple more minutes like that, basically do a closing. Tobacco, for the most part, it's the easiest of the vices. It's not easy, it's accessible, because, of course, you get soda or coffee, cappuccinos, anything in that realm, food, sex. But we don't identify food as a vice, though it can be. We don't identify soda or caffeine as a vice, though we can. We don't identify sex. We identify sex as taboo in some ways, but we don't identify as a vice so much. People that are sexaholics, people don't really look down on them. They just think of it as like, oh, shut up, okay? The fact that you're getting that much sex, you know, I haven't had sex in months. Fuck off. You know, some people will like that. Nobody looks at sex as a vice, even though it can be. People are sexaholics out there, you know. But tobacco is the most obvious of the vices. It's the biggest one, and it's the most well-known, and, you know. Dave, what the fuck did you just write? You know, are you wanting to call or what? Because I don't get it. If I called in on tobacco, I'd be on for too long. Luke, call in if you want. I'll pull up the timer. You know, we'll do a short thing. That's okay. You know, I have my boy from the UK give some comments. I want to know how things are going from our father country. You know, God save the Queen. And God save Queen Cabbage, especially with... Or should I say King Romaine? Because right now we got this recall. Everybody's eating that romaine lettuce. I don't get what's going on. Dave, add me. Fine. Why couldn't you just call me? Big deep breath. And Yucky, how you doing, my boy? We talked about you for a little bit earlier when I was mentioning about some things about marijuana. But Davey.
Hang on.
Okay, I'm hanging on. I'm holding on to the table. I am hanging on. Is there a hurricane blowing? Because if the table stands still, I'm fine. I'm safe now. Because you told me to hang on.
You're weird.
I have been your co-host for 2 years, and you are just getting this?
No, well, I started calling you weird about a year ago, so I got clued in on it. Maybe I'm a little behind everybody else, but I'm catching up.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
No, that's not what they all say.
No, they say much worse. So anyway, how's it going, Davey?
It's all right, man. How are you?
Pretty good. How do you think the show is going so far?
So far, so good.
What have you liked or disliked? I mean, I know you didn't like when I called you a pothead, but besides that.
Oh, I dug that Bhutanese rap.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. I think you're
I mean, I think it's important. You got down to some, you know, some fundamental facts and figures on the... you know, the issues of tobacco usage and smoking it and dipping it. And, you know, I just, I started cigarette smoking when I was 21 years old and probably quit cigarettes. And I say quit cigarettes in the loosest possible term about 2 years ago and just started smoking. Well, no, about a year and a half, actually, and went back to smoking a pipe.
Okay, but still tobacco.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, it's tobacco.
Yeah, that right there, I should have mentioned that too, guys. You know, I forgot about the pipes and everything, the loose tobacco for the pipes, so that's one I forgot to say. Don't ask me. I'm a fucking historian, and all I can remember is, like, General MacArthur with his corncob pipe, but I couldn't remember that for this episode.
And, you know, The one thing that I might have, and I don't even think I really have an issue on it. I think I want to clarify something out of my own personal experience as someone who uses marijuana and also uses tobacco. The two are such entirely different physical and mental experiences.
Yeah.
There are no real addictive properties to marijuana that I've ever experienced.
Right.
But I know for an abso-fucking-lute fact, with no doubt whatsoever, that I am addicted to tobacco.
Right.
I know this. I started smoking when I was 21. I came up against it and really understood it when I was, I guess, 23, 24.
All right.
First time I tried to quit and realized how fucking hard it is to quit. And nicotine is highly addictive. Take it to somebody who's addicted to nicotine. It is truly addictive, and it's very insidious in its addiction. Right. It doesn't screw you up.
Yeah.
You know, I've never smoked 4 cartons of cigarettes and ended up in Dallas, Texas in the middle of the night not knowing how I got there.
Yeah.
But I've done that with a couple of bottles of whiskey.
Yeah.
No problem there. So, you know, there's a sneakiness to it that a lot of people who don't smoke don't get, and I appreciate that. If anybody is in the room here and you don't smoke, you know, everybody that smokes will tell you don't start. Every fucking body.
Right.
Almost down. You just think back on any smokers you've known in your family and amongst friends and, you know, almost to a man or a woman, they will tell you, oh, if you don't smoke, good for you. Don't start.
Right.
And, I mean, if you've never heard that, then you need to get a new class of friends and dump your family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my first ex and I, you know, mother of my daughter, when we found out she was smoking, I mean, we did everything. We begged. We cajoled. We threatened. We punished. We went and got large beating implements to threaten with. And, you know, but when she turned 18, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot we could say about it other than, all right, well, you understand what it's done to us. You're going to understand in a few years what it's going to do to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and thank goodness she finally quit. So, I mean, it's when you have experience with it, you understand that, holy shit, it's serious, but it's serious in the sense that here's a funny thing. Let me back up a little bit. Here's kind of a strange thing. We who smoke and at least are level-headed enough to understand all the ramifications of using tobacco, smoking cigarettes, smoking a pipe, cigars, whatever your particular oeuvre is in the tobacco trade, even if it's dipping skull or using those weird little pouches. Because we absolutely know that it's not only addictive, but that there are chemical properties in it that aren't good for your health. There are things about cigarettes and tobacco, and dude, if you use these things excessively, they will hurt you. Exactly. I know they've done stuff to me.
Right.
I absolutely know that. I don't have near the wind I should have.
Yeah.
Not nearly the wind I should. And it's because I smoke.
Right.
Now, and you say, well, Dave, that's okay. You're just making a trade-off. You know, for an intelligent man who actually took some college courses and some biology and all that stuff, you know, then what becomes the main idea here? Is it my common sense or my addiction to tobacco?
I think it's kind of a couple of things. You know, for example, I know that how often you hear some people that it's like, you know, they quit smoking, and it's not just it's stupid in some facets. And I'm not knocking anybody smoking, but I'm talking like when you explain it, it sounds so stupid. When a person who is a smoker, that okay, the nicotine, that's a clear thing. You're getting the nicotine in your body. Now your body goes through withdrawal and everything like that. And it's like, so you got to get back on it. But then it's like you get some people that they say, their hands have always got to be utilized for something. You know, they got to, they used to always hold a cigarette or moving back and forth. They got to do something with their hands now. And that's why a lot of them take up like potato chips or something. You get people who it's like they quit and they start chewing gum a lot because they had to do something with their mouth as well. Always got that going. Fortunately for me as a New Yorker, I naturally talk with my hands. So if I became addicted to smoking and then quit, my hands would not lose any usage at all. But that's how it is for some people. It's like, you know, like my hands have got to do something, so I just keep smoking. It's like, you realize that is the dumbest excuse ever. And people will go, well, but it's legit.
Because my hands have to do something? Well, you know, over the course of the years, I'm sure I've come across that a time or two in my own experience, but excuse me.
Well, I mean, it is one of those things like a quick example. I know you're going to give an answer, but like a quick example, a lot of smoking cessation classes, they always tell people take up a hobby. It's like, what are they really filling up that much void in life after losing tobacco that they got to take up a hobby? And that also includes because of the fact that the usage of their hands and stuff like that.
Well, as with any addiction, to beat the addiction, it should be replaced with something.
True.
You know, nature itself abhors a vacuum. That's just a fundamental law of physics.
Yeah.
Nature abhors a vacuum. So if you eliminate something from your life as powerfully influential, instead of saying addictive, let me put it that way, as powerfully influential as tobacco, then you're going to have to find something to put into your life, maybe even just temporarily, to at least get you through the first whatever. For some people, it's 30 days, 90 days. You know, there were people, I've known people who carried a fucking unlit cigarette around with them. Just carried it around because of the thing with, there again, it goes with the hand,
yeah,
the mouth, the movement, the whole, but just, you know, because they quit smoking, it didn't mean that they, you know, quit buying. They just didn't buy nearly as much. So,
right,
you know, there's all kinds of things about being a user of tobacco. But the fundamental, the boil down of the whole thing is, you know, the truth of it is this. Let me back up again. The truth of it is this simple. If you're somebody who uses tobacco on any regular basis, you absolutely positively know. And I kind of mentioned this, and I think it's a strong enough point that it needs to be kind of, you know, nailed home for anybody that doesn't smoke. And if you, well, you know, maybe I ought to be cool and start. No. Don't do that. Because, I mean, there's a power in the addiction that is just, I mean, there aren't really good words for it. Not really.
Right. Yeah,
so, you know, as an individual, you know, when I approach my own use of tobacco and I'm looking at my life and go, well, you know, I know I should quit. I know I should quit, but what I've done is this. And me going from cigarettes to a pipe, and people will go, yay, Dave, that's great, wonderful. Dude, I went from filtered cigarettes to unfiltered pipes. Yay, wonderful? No.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I just don't do it as much. Because there's actually, you know, all there again, the hand stuff, there's the stuff of filling the pipe, cleaning the pipe before you fill it.
Yeah.
Make sure it's rimmed out through the whatchamacallit thing.
Take up firearms. You do all the same things when you're taking apart and cleaning the pistol after shooting it.
Okay, I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon, so no, I'm not going to be doing that.
Oh, come on, nothing sexier than seeing Papa Dave with a shotgun at the range.
Dude, I've got pictures of me with guns.
Right.
You know, I'm not allergic to guns, I just don't want to own.
We got to get you down here. I own 6 firearms myself. We got to get you to a range.
I don't own any guns, but I mean,
you live in Texas and you don't own a gun? A state where they basically give you a free gun for buying a slushie and you don't have a gun.
Nah, I don't have a gun.
Something
wrong. Oh, wait a minute. Well, let me back up. I got a 410 shotgun in the closet.
That counts.
Okay, I got a 410 shotgun in the closet, so I got a gun. I don't really take it out and hold it a lot. I think that's a little erotic for my taste to be stroking my gun, but
yeah.
Hey,
some people like that. I know people in the military or law enforcement, they get their peace by just cleaning their firearms sometimes. Even if it's already clean, it's just spending time with it. Quick thing, Luke Birch in the chat, he's talking about the fact that his biggest thing, of course, is when it comes to the dangers involved, especially when it comes to secondhand smoke. You know, he points out alcohol only has direct health effects on the drinker, and thus fine. Weed, zero deaths recorded throughout human history, thus fine. Tobacco, harmful effects on loved ones around it via secondhand smoke, thus I have an issue. Which, that's a fair point as well, you know. So there's that. And then even go on.
And I think, you know, and mentioning the secondhand smoke thing, when you were given the statistics about how smoking and really the tobacco companies, how their business has gone down over the last, 25 years, especially since the tobacco hearings.
Yeah.
Anybody remembers the tobacco hearings during the Clinton administration? What was his name? Waxman from Illinois. Just beating the shit out of the tobacco companies. Just tore them a new one. Each and every one of the big six just tore them a new one. And you saw from there a lot of the non-smoking movement really become empowered by that. And they became so empowered that, you know, that's when you saw more enclosed designated places for smokers. If you're going to smoke at work, there was a special place outside, usually in some kind of a some sort of like a garden house or something. They made a special place. And
like a gazebo.
Like a gazebo, exactly. There you go. A special, you know, an overhang and all that kind of stuff so you could go under there. And even that's getting eliminated over time. And a lot of companies are saying no smoking on the premises. Right. A lot of buildings, a lot of institutions, a lot of the places that we go and frequent and see all the time, stores, shopping centers, more and more, they're not only not allowing smoking within, but they're not allowing smoking without.
Right.
So, you know, where you'll find the secondhand smoke problem is in homes. And that's an individual thing. If you want to smoke when your people are at your house, that's up to you. If you want to be an a-hole, be an a-hole.
Yeah.
That's your American right, if you live here, to be an a-hole within the confines of your own castle.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you've got a little discernment, a little class about you, then, you know, if you've got people over that don't smoke, then be courteous, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know, step outside. Ain't going to kill you.
Yeah. I just pulled up something for you as well. Like you mentioned the tobacco hearings. I went back and I found this. This is from 1971. It really shows like how the tobacco industry goes, like you mentioned the tobacco hearings. This is a guy by the name of Joseph Coleman. He was the CEO of Philip Morris at the time. I don't know if it was just Philip Morris America or Philip Morris International. The guy's clearly, I think, American. But listen to what he says. This is 1971. Talking about the health effects about a woman being pregnant and smoking. And listen to his philosophy.
Babies born from women who smoke are smaller, but they're just as healthy as the babies born from women who do not smoke.
Wait.
Some women.
Right. What?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wait, but here's the best part. There's actually the second half to this. I thought you were going to laugh too more. Listen to this.
The babies born from women who smoke are smaller, but they're just as healthy as the babies born from women who do not smoke. Some women would prefer having smaller babies.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah. Just, women just smoke 3 packs a day. You're shooting out Lego babies at that point.
Well, I know it's absolutely true, but yeah, I was born to a smoker.
Yeah, same here.
I came out. I was a big old kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I grew up into a pretty good sized fella, so.
Yeah. My parents have a home video of my mom at the hospital. She was in labor at one point with me and then out of labor and stuff like that. So they have her, a home video of her with my aunts and uncles in the waiting room at the hospital, and they're smoking. She's smoking. Now keep in mind, everybody, this is the late 80s. Back then, you could smoke indoors. And it was okay for parents to smoke. It wasn't until about the mid-90s, you know, because it was not that long afterwards, my mom, like you mentioned, the Clinton hearings and everything, that my mom was pregnant with my sister. And she had the belief that it was still okay for her to smoke, you know. And my sister's fine. She could be a bitch, but she's fine.
Well, I mean, I don't know about your sister's bittiness, but, you know, I know this. I know this. You know, tobacco in this in our country is, and I think in most, except for Bhutan, now that we know, if you're a smoker, don't go to Bhutan.
You can go to Bhutan, but don't bring it with you.
Don't bring a cigarette to Bhutan, you dumbass. Just don't do it. But, you know, anywhere you go, there's going to be a place for somebody to smoke a cigarette or smoke a cigar or enjoy their pipe, whatever it is.
Right.
Whatever it is. And so, I mean, we still have that freedom. It's more designated. It's more, you know, subdivided up. You smokers go over here and do your thing and leave us alone, and we'll do our thing over here and we'll leave you. Well, they don't really ever leave us alone. If I go to the grocery store, and if I got a ride to the grocery store and I'm waiting on my ride to get back to the house if I don't have the car, I might carry my pouch with me and light my pipe while I'm waiting. On three different occasions, I've had people say, "Oh, smoking's not good for you." And being the old fundamental smart ass that I am, you know, I'm just that, well, no shit. Thank you for the information. So, I mean, you know, there's still people who, you know, think that their evangelistic mission is to tell every smoker that it's bad for them, so we'll wake up into the realization that we're killing ourselves.
Yeah. Well, we woke up
to those realizations a long time ago. Now the realization that I'm in is the addiction realization.
Yeah.
Am I willing to go through, and it's not that bad. I've stopped before, so am I willing to go through, and I'm not going to call it pain because it's not real pain. I've been through pain.
Right.
But through the discomfort of not having some tobacco for a little while. A little while.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. My mom gave up smoking. She got sick at one point, you know, nothing bad, but it was like a very bad flu. And she just couldn't smoke during that time. She was so sick. Once she got better, she didn't smoke, and she quit smoking for like 6 months. And I thought it was great. And then I was in the Army at the time, and then I come back and she's smoking again. I'm like, "You took up smoking?" And she's like, "Yeah." You know, and that's the thing as well. Like, it's crazy how people, when they get addicted so much, like some things like the withdrawal or the anger or something, like, I was 7 years old, I think I was, and something like that. And because I was learning how smoking was bad and everything, I took all my mom's cigarettes and I hid them because I wanted her to be healthier. I got yelled at and punished for it because I took her tobacco, you know. It really shows how, like, people could be when it comes to it. I'm not saying everybody's like that. I'm not saying you are like that. Far from it. I'm just saying that some people are like that and how it can make people. You know, I wanted my mom to be healthy, and there was no compassion. There was only anger that I was trying to take her. I tried hiding her cigarettes from her. And I'm not talking, like, the individual pack. I took all of them because she would keep them in the fridge to keep them fresh. And I hit them all.
My mom did that, too.
See?
Yeah, she kept her Bel Airs in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the yelling at you part as well. But
oh, well, no. I would have never dared touch her cigarettes. She'd have whipped my ass.
See what I mean? Okay, it would have been more than so. But, I mean, but she would she have understood if you were saying to her, "Mom, I just want you to be healthier"?
No. 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 No.
All right. Well, I mean, but that just, it just goes back to the psychology. You know, people, like, if you just take it away. My dad actually said, when my mom gave birth to me, afterwards, you know, the doctor said to her, you know, she's got to, you know, and you know this, Dave. I mean, I'm betting the same thing they told you with your ex was, the doctor's probably said to you, "Look, she's got to get up. She's got to be able to walk around and everything like that, right? Get some strength back in her."
Oh, yeah.
So what did my dad do? He said, what did he actually do? He'd walk around in the hallways backwards, holding out a cigarette. My mom would be like a zombie trying to walk to it to get it. And, like, that was how he got her out of bed and got her to walk around, was to do that. And her prize, of course, was the cigarette. You know, it's amazing how addicting it can be. Is that was used to get her out of bed to walk and everything, was the urge to smoke. You know, she just had me, but the urge was about smoking.
Well, dude, it's very powerful. It's very, very powerful.
Oh, no, it is, definitely. You know. Well, I think we're probably going to be closing up here pretty soon then, so we were able to pull off even more time than I thought, and that was great, you know. Got a near 90 minutes out of this episode.
Cool.
So, any lasting predictions for you over your history since you've been, when you first started smoking, seeing how it was with society, like I mentioned, whether it was the Marlboro Man, Camel Joe, cartoons and news shows showing stuff with tobacco, and now here we are today. What do you see as the future for tobacco over the years when you compare the past? And what do you think has been the biggest thing that's helped with the decline of tobacco over the years? Is it the laws? Is it society change? Is it the marijuana like we're seeing the speed right now? What would you say is the, if you could name just one thing, it could be multiple two things, but what would you say is one thing?
I think it's more awareness. Truly. I mean, it's truly more awareness. Schools tell, and I see this with my grandkids now. Schools telling the kids, you know, giving them details as to, you know, what, tobacco addiction and drug addiction. Not just, you know, oh, don't you smoke. That's bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
But my 10-year-old grandsons have in health class learned about, you know, some of the seriousness of smoking. And dude, here's a funny thing. The only thing I remember is this from getting a negative smoking message when I was a kid. In high school, they had the guys who would come around and show the diseased lung. Remember, yep. You ever see the diseased lung in the jar?
And the pump and trying to make it inhale and everything. Of course, the lungs can't inflate the whole way. Yeah.
So, you know, we saw that and we were all kind of going, ooh, that's nasty. Yuck. That's nasty. Yuck, nasty. I'm so fucking funny, I kill myself. You know, oh, that's just, we don't like that.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and I think what they're doing is they're giving these kids more, and these young people more direct information, and letting them, and actually giving them the opportunity to process the differences, should I or shouldn't I? We weren't really given those. Here's bad lung, don't smoke. Fuck you, you're an authority. But now they're sharing a lot more, and not only is more information available, but more people are partaking of that information. So over the years, you know, the tobacco industry itself is going to become more of a niche business. Now, should they get into marijuana? I think everybody ought to get into marijuana, but that's just me. companies, non-companies, everybody ought to be into it. I think it's not only a marvelous drug, but I think it's a marvelous antidote for a lot of things that trouble us physically, mentally, emotionally. I'm not saying it's a cure. I've never been the, you know, if you smoke marijuana, you're going to be cured. I'm not that, pumped up
right
on the whole cannabis is a God thing. But I know for a fact from my own experience that there are things that cannabis can do that simple drugs cannot. But there's nothing that a cigarette can do that those simple drugs cannot. There's nothing that tobacco can do that drugs or marijuana can do.
Right.
Tobacco is hard addictive, period.
Yep.
All of it. Nicotine is a naturally occurring substance. Now, over the years, it's been shown that the cigarette companies kind of boosted it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But plus a whole lot of other crap, and I never heard the fiberglass thing that you had mentioned. But, dude, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it in the least bit to try to fill it out. So, I mean, who knows what we've been ingesting over the years. So far, I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. Things are going forward. So, you know, it's going to be up to me as the individual and as the guy who uses tobacco to come to that 99-yard line that everybody comes to with everything in their lives. What am I going to do to get over the goal line and say, I'm not going to do this anymore? Well, at this point, I'm not sure. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But I know it's coming. You know, it's like the first time I quit. The first time I quit, I had had bronchitis that developed into walking pneumonia.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, dude, I was at work just sick as a dog going, I was so sick. And one of the psychiatrists walked by and he says, hang on a second. He walks into another room. I was working in a private mental hospital. at the time, and he goes, hang on a
work
minute.
Work or frequented?
And then, well, the frequency, the frequency was like 10 years earlier. Now I was actually working there. But he said, hang on. He went and got a stethoscope. He goes, hold on. And he tells me, hold on a second. He runs down to my boss's office, drags her in, and says, he's got to go to the hospital. I think he's got pneumonia. And we both looked at him like, what? I've got a cold, man. I don't have pneumonia. He goes, yeah, you do. And I did. So I stopped for like 9 months. And here was the funny thing. After 9 months, and this is the insidiousness of addiction. Anybody that ever talks about addiction, this is something I know a little bit about. The insidiousness and the sneakiness and the way it addiction does us, especially addictions like tobacco. 9 months later, you know, everything was fine. I felt good. Everything was wonderful. Everything was so wonderful that apparently I just decided to stop at the store, buy a pack, and celebrate by starting smoking again.
Yeah,
it was that simple. There wasn't a lot of there was no hand wringing, no sweats, no nothing. It just bang, and there I was off to the races again.
Yeah.
So you know, just if you don't here again, let the smoker tell the non-smokers, if you don't smoke tobacco or use tobacco, unless maybe every now and then, like John had done, smoke a cigar. I think a lot of people will occasionally, even non-smokers, will put a cigar in their mouths every now and then.
And well, it's stupid to say this, but it's also healthy. There's no fiber. There's no fiberglass like chew tobacco. There's no tar like in cigarettes, and you don't inhale it. So there's a risk of mouth cancer over here for frequent usage, but there's no lung cancer.
So and there you go. That's the whole thing. But if you, from the tobacco user, if you don't use it, don't start. If you do use it, and you've never really seriously considered quitting, well, I mean, I'm not here to tell you. As a user, I can't tell you to quit. You know, that's a level of hypocrisy I haven't achieved yet.
Yeah.
But I have achieved this, just like we did with my daughter. I know it's bad. I know I shouldn't be doing it. But I'll tell you what. I can tell you definitely, if you don't do it, don't do it. Just don't do it. If you're not addicted, don't get addicted. It's just that simple.
Yep.
So there you go. There you go.
Quick thing I pulled up. I was typing up. There's actually a thing. People can go on like Wikipedia and type in tobacco politics. There's actually a thing about that. And you can read up because it talks about all the stuff I was mentioning. I just looked that up now, and if anybody wants to see, they talk about stuff like in Russia and China as well, Japan, and other places. The big loss here I mentioned about when it came to Australia, which, by the way, the whole thing, when they took the Philip Morris Australia and put it under Philip Morris Asia and Hong Kong, they tried that lawsuit and lost. So they couldn't even win that one. But as I was typing that, here's what I ended up finding out as well, is a thing called a tobacco policy in Armenia. And it's actually about the whole thing with Armenia trying to get stricter on tobacco. Listen to this quick one item. Armenia, small little country for everybody. It's in the crossroads between Europe and Asia. People think it's Asia, but it's just part of the southern part. It's just south of the European part of Russia, next surrounded by like Azerbaijan and Georgia and Russia. There's one other country that I'm blasting on. I can't remember. Georgia. They could touch. They do touch Turkey. That's right. But here's the quick thing about that. Armenia is the sixth biggest in terms of population percentage. It's the sixth nation in the world for smokers and the first in Europe. 70% of the population are smokers. So keep in mind of that. Population of Armenia is much smaller than state of Texas, but to show the fact that the percentage of the country still is that high is
okay,
amazing.
Okay, hang on. Armenian Tourist Bureau. You can probably smoke in church over there.
I bet. Probably. They did try to get stricter on it. The first national tobacco control on tobacco realization, consumption, production, and usage limitations was signed into law in 2005 by President Robert Kachaturian. Something like that. Although the law is in place to prohibit smoking in public places, regulate distribution of cigarettes by manufacturers, improve public health and awareness of the health hazards of smoking, lack of enforcement has rendered this law to be unsuccessful. It says an estimated 52.5% of men and 1.5% of women over the age of 15 are smokers. Now, how they get 70%, I am unsure. But it does say that it got to more than 70% of the population being smokers. So I'm trying to figure out how they got the math like that. But they are still the number one in Europe for smoking. And people probably would have thought the French. You know, I bet Luke would have thought the French, because Luke is English and Luke hates the French. Naturally, it's just in their blood. But, well, we've done it over an hour and a half now, so it killed another 10 minutes, which is great. So I think we're going to leave it with Armenia on that note. It's a nation that people few in between think about, and that's not knocking them. But let them enjoy that last bit. Also, everybody remember Togo. So good stuff there.
Don't forget Bhutan.
Oh, yeah, Bhutan. Do not go to Bhutan if you're a smoker, because it's not allowed. So
don't go to Bhutan.
And if you do, don't bring your tobacco. You might be allowed to bring the wacky tobacco, but not the actual tobacco. I don't know. I don't know Bhutanese law on marijuana. So, any final words, Dave?
No, I'm good, man. Thanks for letting me on.
No problem, Dave. If you could stick around for a couple minutes afterwards. Everybody else, hope you enjoyed this. This next episode will be coming in 2 weeks. I am splitting up the vices now. We're going to do one episode. We do two episodes of Reality Check every month. I'm going to split it up and do one episode of the vices every month. Next week, I am trying to determine what's going to be a good psychological episode. Not next week, 2 weeks from now. So you guys will know about the upcoming episode and what it's going to be. Has nothing to do with vices or anything. It's going to be a good psychology item. And we're going to go from there. So stay cool. Stay tuned. Keep enjoying yourself. You know what? This will sound a little weird, Dave. How's this sound an idea of the psychology of traveling? Because I know it sounds a little weird, but there's a lot of psychology in the idea of people that those who just want to get away from a couple of days and those who want to experience different cultures, or those who they hate their own culture, so they got to get away, stuff like that.
Here's a quick story. My mom loved traveling when she was, for the last 10 years of her life, when she kind of slowed down. My mom loved going places. She loved getting on cruise ships. Hell, they were in Mexico. You remember the 70s or early 80s, the Mexico City earthquake that pretty much destroyed the city.
Yeah.
Her and my aunt had spent a week's vacation in Mexico City. 2 days before the earthquake, they left. So, you know, dude, it got to a point where she just hated to travel because of the Americans.
All the Americans in those places.
Oh my God! And that was, she was the first one that I heard that term from, that sort of around the world term about us, especially about us as tourists, yeah. The ugly American.
Yeah,
you know, pushy, overbearing. You know, why don't you speak English?
Yep.
Blah blah blah. That dumb shit.
I'm an ugly American.
And
telling you to speak my language here.
Yeah. So and. I've been to Mexico and I've been around a little bit, but you're a very well traveled young man.
Yeah,
you know me a long trip is walking from the front of the house to the back of the house.
Yeah, and that's actually one thing that will come into a topic like what you talk about, like with your mom. By the way, I just pulled September 19th, 1985.
85, there we go.
They called the 1985 Mexico City earthquake. It measured a moment magnitude of 8.0 on the scale. That is amazing. The first of the, and then it had a couple of aftershocks. The day after, it had a magnitude of 7.5. And then 7 months later with another one, they claim is still an aftershock at a 7.0. So, goddamn. I remember waking up one time to like a 4.2 in Alaska. That was huge. So I can only imagine an 8.0 with an aftershock of 7.5 the next day.
Oh, yeah.
But When we do the traveling one, everybody, one of the things I want you guys to remind me of to make sure, I will be talking about it, bring up like Dave mentioned about the ugly American thing. I'm going to talk about the differences between a traveler and a tripster. Because I can tell you this, I am a tripster. And you guys will know what that means. You guys can probably get an idea of what it sounds like. So, but we're going to get out of here. I hope you guys, again, enjoyed yourself. Again, it's a sounds like a low-key episode, but the fact that I did this amount of time is amazing, and I'm glad for that. And there was a lot to the psychology of even legal products, such as tobacco. And because it goes to business and politics, not getting into the politics like I normally do, but for that because it goes into psychology. So, with that, I'm out of here, and Papa Dave is out of here. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Okay, guys.